Radio Prague News. A Danish couple who kidnapped their newborn son from a Copenhagen hospital in mid-July and fled with him to Brno, South Moravia, have been handed over to the Danish authorities. The country's international airports have all been hit by the economic downturn, registering a fall in the number of passengers and a lower number of both regular and charter flights. And Petr Fake, the director of Prague's Troia Zoo, is reported to be considering a career in diplomacy. A Danish couple who kidnapped their newborn son from a Copenhagen hospital in mid-July and fled with him to Brno in Moravia have been handed over to the Danish authorities, a police spokeswoman told the CTK news agency. The baby's mother is an addict and the child was born with a heroin addiction. The couple faces up to 8 years in prison for the kidnapping, which doctors claim endangered the baby's life. The country's international airports have all been hit by the economic downturn, registering a fall in the number of passengers and a lower number of both regular and charter flights, the CTK news agency reports. The country's largest airport in Prague, Ruzyně, reported a decrease in passenger numbers in the first half of this year by 13.5% year-on-year to 5.1 million. The number of takeoffs and landings fell by nearly 10%. The airport in Pardubice, eastern Bohemia, was the worst hit, with passenger numbers down to 56% year-on-year. The main reason was a decline in the number of people travelling from Russia and the east, forcing the airport to scrap its regular flights to St. Petersburg and Moscow. The Brno airport dropped its regular flights to Spain, which were used by some 5,000 people each month, while Moshnov airport in northern Moravia saw a steep drop in the number of passengers on Prague-Vienna flights. Petr Fake, the director of Prague's Troia Zoo, is reported to be considering a career in diplomacy. The internet server IDNES wrote on Saturday that the Czech Foreign Ministry had confirmed the news. Its spokesman, Milan Řepka, said that certain negotiations had taken place and that Mr. Fake had offered his services to the Foreign Ministry. Mr. Fake himself could not be reached for comment, and neither the Prague Zoo nor the Prague Town Hall had any knowledge of his plans. A late-night return from a party in Friedrichmiestek, Moravia, ended in tragedy for three young people who were riding home on one bike. The 18-year-old who was steering the bike appears to have lost control and swerved into the opposite lane, straight into the path of an oncoming vehicle. He was killed on the spot. His 22-year-old friend suffered brain damage and a 21-year-old woman escaped with light injuries and shock. It is not clear if the accident happened due to a sudden loss of balance or whether the young people were under the influence of alcohol. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. While the weekend should be warm and sunny with day temperatures reaching 28 degrees Celsius, the start of the week is expected to bring a cool spell with rain and day temperatures around 20 degrees. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, you're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Rosie Johnston. Coming up in the programme today, there are tales of defenestration in this week's magazine. Add a new Czech idiom or two to your repertoire in Soundcheck. And in this week's one-on-one, we speak to esteemed British conductor Carl Davis, who's been in Prague to conduct the Czech National Symphony Orchestra. All that's coming up, but first it's over to Daniela Lazarová, who has this week's magazine.
Foreign visitors to this country are occasionally alarmed by the sound of sirens, which nobody else appears to be aware of. The explanation for this is simple. On the first Wednesday of every month at precisely 12 midday, sirens are tested across the country to make sure that they are in good working order. In order to distinguish between a real emergency and the test runs, there are two different sound patterns, a monotonous sound for the test and a wailing siren for real emergencies. Well, ever since the end of the war, Czechs have only ever heard wailing sirens in the event of floods, and they're so used to the siren test that they simply go about their business without paying the slightest attention to the noise. This week, though, an incident in the Plzeň region in western Bohemia showed that maybe the locals have become just a little too blasé about the siren tests. By some technical error, sirens in the region went off with a wailing sound for the prescribed 3 minutes, and nobody paid any attention. People knew it was the first Wednesday of the month and simply ignored the warning. Well, there is, however, some consolation in the knowledge that town mayors across the region did put a call through to ask whether it was for real. While people in western Bohemia are carefree enough to ignore the sound of a siren, elsewhere in areas that have been repeatedly hit by floods this summer, they're wondering how to develop an effective early warning system. Following widespread criticism of meteorologists for failing to predict the heavy rains that set off flash floods, some villagers have reportedly turned to age-old wisdoms to avert disaster. Some are said to be keeping a close eye on the progress of snails in their gardens, since our forefathers believed that when snails start going up trees and shrubs, they're responding to high levels of groundwater, and there is therefore an imminent danger of floods. It is, of course, advisable to monitor more than one snail, since some may be more adventurous than others. A Czech tourist in Romania has learnt the hard way that it is not wise to wander off on your own in the mountains. According to the Romanian internet daily Romanian Times, the Czech hiker was attacked by a bear as he was descending into Cariman Valley, only a few hundred metres away from the mountain resort where he was staying. The Daily says he was enormously lucky. Some locals who were close by came to his rescue and managed to chase the bear away. The man, who is now in hospital, escaped with concussion and a dislocated shoulder. Last Friday, hundreds of locals and visitors to Prague were treated to an amazing spectacle, courtesy of the Prague 2 Town Hall, which organised on Prague's Karlovo Náměstí, or Charles Square, a reenactment of the first defenestration of Prague, which took place in 1419 and marked the beginning of the Hussite Wars. On July 30th, 590 years ago, an inflamed mob led by Jan Želivský stormed the new town hall, demanding the release of some Hussite prisoners. The councillors refused and were thrown out of the town hall windows by the enraged petitioners, an event that coined the word defenestrace, or defenestration. The first ever reconstruction of this famous event in the country's history was undertaken by actors and stuntmen in period dress, and the crowd roared its approval as the first man sailed out of the window onto a mattress bolstered by a pile of straw. Amid calls of "give us another one," the actors sent two more out the window, each defenestration accompanied by cheers and loud applause. "That should show those in power what a bad end they can come to," the actor impersonating Jan Želivský yelled from the window, to the great delight of the crowd below. The defenestration was accompanied by historic festivities on the one-time horse market, with singing, dancing and live music, not forgetting refreshments such as bread baked in a replica 15th century oven, beer, roast pork, gingerbread and other sweetmeats of the time. Thank you. Mother's Day is usually celebrated in June, but Prague's Troyer Zoo holds its own celebration on August the 2nd. In cooperation with the Association Gender Studies, it annually holds a Fathers and Children event intended to help fathers bond with their offspring and encourage them to play a more active role in their children's upbringing. Held last weekend, the event offered a variety of competitions for fathers and children, among them a chance for fathers to test their father skills in babysitting someone else's offspring. Nine fathers were asked to team up with a child not their own and ensure their cooperation in making a paper costume for one of the animals, drawing them, or producing a clay model. The jury assessed how well the grown-up communicated with the child and how good he was at getting them involved in a certain task. Clearly, practice makes perfect, because the winner, Petr Veselý, has four daughters of his own. His only serious problem was preventing his contest offspring from repeatedly running off and taking a nosedive into a nearby pool. You're probably wondering why the zoo holds Father's Day on August the 2nd. Well, that is because the patron of the event is an ostrich called Tatyulda, or Daddy, who serves as an example of a model parent. Male ostriches spend 2 months hatching the eggs and take an active part in caring for their offspring for several months after they're hatched. I'm sure many human mums find that admirable.
Lazarva with a range of this week's Odder stories. Now, mluvíte česky. If you're interested in learning Czech or want to brush off those language skills, here are a few choice phrases for your repertoire in this week's Soundcheck with Jan Wellinger.
Welcome to Soundcheck, our language course in which we look at Czech expressions through song lyrics. In today's edition, we look at the expression nervy nad ranc, which means having nerves that are completely shot. The song is by Hana Zagorová and is called Spěchám, from the verb spěchat, which means to be in a hurry or to be in a rush. In Hana Zagorová's case, getting nowhere fast. In the song, Hana Zagorová sings she doesn't want her nerves to be shot. Nechci mít nervy nad ranc, but there's every indication she fails, rushing from 1 minute to the next. Situations when you might say, mám nervy nad ranc, my nerves are shot, are probably obvious enough. Anytime, anywhere, one is under extreme pressure, ahead of a university exam, a hospital procedure, or, God forbid, an appearance in court for all those unpaid parking tickets. Equally, one could have shot nerves late for their own wedding. You forgot to pick up your rings, or if you're a journalist ahead of an exclusive interview with a visiting head of state, or if you're simply a camper trying to get out of the city, but find yourself stuck in endless traffic. No. Of course, not everything has to be a rush. Some things come to a slow boil. Máš nervy nad ranc. Your nerves might be shot after you bet your savings at Euro 2008, and the score is still 0-0, and the minutes are ticking. Remember, there's no question nervy nad ranc are not helped by drinking coffee after black coffee, or chain-smoking cigarettes on the balcony, or staying awake all night. When you hit the melting point, well, good luck. You'll have nervy v kýblu, nerves in the bucket. That's that. They're shot. That's it. No wonder Hana Zagorova wants nothing like it. Nadrans alone means something that has been blasted to smithereens or blasted to bits. In this case, your poor nerves. You need a rest, a little R&R. Relax. Remember, it's the weekend. On Monday, it all starts all over again.
Jan Willinger with that edition of Soundcheck. And if you want to find out how those phrases are written, then go to our website where there's a transcript of that edition of the programme, as well as an archive of all of our older soundchecks too. That's all at www.radio.cz, so be sure to log on to that. Now, in the last part of our show today here on Radio Prague, it's time for One-on-One, which is also brought to you by Jan Willinger, who this week spoke to the acclaimed composer and conductor Carl Davis.
Today's guest in One-on-One is the world-famous conductor and composer Carl Davis. Mr. Davis, who has composed hundreds of scores for TV and film, recently appeared in Prague to conduct the Czech National Symphony Orchestra. I caught up with Mr. Davis at Prague's Obecný dům to discuss his remarkable career as well as Czech connections, writing the scores for films like The French Lieutenant's Woman or for TV series like The World at War. The first thing I asked Carl Davis about, though, was whether he knew early on that film and television would play such strong roles in his career. Here's what he told Radio Prague.
I deliberately made a bid for it because I had a very global view of what music could do and be. And it's some models. I mean, if you sort of think, you know, the really good guys like Mozart and Beethoven, and they did a lot of jobs. I mean, Mozart wrote sort of minuets, which were very popular at the time. You know, Beethoven wrote show music. He wrote music for plays and did all sorts of jobs like that. Also dance music and so on. I thought there was a mentality in which you actually wrote for the market, and I liked that. I took that on board.
Who were some composers, say, already working in the field, in film or TV at the time, who were an inspiration, if any?
I grew up during the heyday of Leonard Bernstein in New York. So the sense of variety and being talented at many different sorts of things was there as an example. I always liked the music of the Europeans who came to Hollywood, but also classical composers of Europe who also did film music. In England, William Walton, in Russia, Prokofiev and Shostakovich did a lot of film music. And in France, everybody, all the French composers wrote film scores. I mean, it was a wonderful way to make a living. I arrived at the idea that I might be a composer really quite late. I was 18 when the moment came to me that I felt that I wanted to compose. Before that, I had really a very complete musical training, and I was already working in some opera companies and accompanist and repetiteur, that sort of work in New York and in the United States. But I always felt that my whole interest in being was really in Europe. I wanted to live in Europe, and eventually it came to me that it would be London.
How would you describe London at that time?
I was really looking forward to the kind of dark, theatrical, almost artificial England of literature and theatre. And when I came in 1960, it really was that, in a sense that it was still just, after all, 15 years from the end of World War II. London had been very heavily bombed. So it was very, very shocking to have this first impact of this very dark. There were no rules about coal, for instance, so that everything was black. It was very black, gray, dirty city. And but quite serious in tone. Theater was very serious. And they were alive in other ways, intellectually very alive. And I really liked it. I really wanted to be part of that. Then there was a change.
And how would you characterize some of your bigger projects from the 1970s?
One of the interesting things that I did was a television series called The World at War. And this was a big series, 26 hours. One of the important things when you write both film and television is what we call the titles, because the titles always have to tell the audience something of what they're going to experience. It sets the mood. It sets the tone. So if you can get something very striking, if you can invent something very striking for it, then it's enormously helpful. Everybody recognizes it, and they can come into the living room from the kitchen, whatever, or wherever the television set is, you know, when they hear it. But more than that, it has to inform the series. So I had to choose a model for this, because I knew it was going to go around the world, and it occurred to me that there were certain aspects of Czech music that always seemed to my ear in Smetana, and in particularly Martinu, that I liked very much. It was a particular chord progression in which you go from minor to major chords. It's as if it's sort of resolved, something tragic that is then resolved in a major key. And that was my model. I suddenly thought, well, as we're global, as much Pacific as Europe, let's choose something in the middle, somewhere between the two. Eastern, but not far Eastern. So in a way, Czech music was my model for the World at War theme.
That's not your only Czech connection as well, I understand. The director of the French Lieutenant's Woman was of Czech descent.
Yes, Carol Rice was a kinder transport child and came over in this period, came to England in this period of 1938, 1939, when children from Prague, Vienna, and Berlin were saved. And Carol Rice was one of them. And he always had a slight Czech accent. It was quite never completely English, though he was a child when he came.
What was it like to work on The French Lieutenant's Woman, since we're talking about that specifically?
It was quite hard, because it was a very intellectual film. It had a script by Harold Pinter. The book existed in several layers of time. There was a film unit, a contemporary film unit, making a film that was set 100 years earlier. And you had an equal weight on the present as you did on the dramatization of the 19th century story. So you had to help by ear, you know. So the present day music was always very poppy or jazzy sometimes. And the Victorian scenes were somehow very romantic in a more Brahms, early Schoenberg is where I placed it, in mood. So it was very interesting working that out with Carol. Carol was he was a very troubled man, really. He sometimes felt very insecure about the material he was working on, and sometimes it was good and sometimes it was bad. But I sometimes had to pressure him to be clear to me about what, you know, to try and talk it out, you know, what he wanted. And it was great in the end, because we made the music work together.
You've come to the Czech Republic many times, that you've come to Prague. What would you say was one of the more exciting visits, performances that you conducted here?
I was asked back for the first Prague Spring Festival, and this had to do very much with Libor Pešek, who at that time was principal conductor of the Royal Liverpool Philharmonic, and going to and fro between Liverpool and Prague, and he brought the orchestra over very often. So they were, you know, the best Czech orchestra outside of Czech Republic, he used to say. And I had a commission at that time, because in 1991, the Liverpool Philharmonic celebrated being 150 years, and they commissioned me to work with Paul McCartney on something called Paul McCartney's Liverpool Oratorium. And so we came here for the Prague Spring, and the first night, Libor and the orchestra in this hall played Mavlast, the traditional opening of the Prague Spring. And then the next night, we went to the cathedral up on the hill and did the McCartney, which was in a way composed to be played at a cathedral. We did it at the Anglican Cathedral in Liverpool, was the premiere. So that was really very, very thrilling way to get to know the city, you know, from the recording studio then immediately to being in the Smetana as public and then doing the show, the oratorio in the cathedral.
Carl Davis, who was speaking there to Jan Wellinger, and that's all we've got time for today here on Radio Prague. So tune in tomorrow for a special edition of Music Profile, all about the avant-garde singer and violinist Iva Bitova. And of course, write to us with any reactions you have to anything you've heard in the show. The address for emails is, as ever, english@radio.cz. But for now, that's all. So from me, Rosie Johnston, and the rest of the team here in Prague, it's thanks for listening and goodbye.
Yesterday, did Mr. Fisher send the fax to LA? Make sure the